Morning, everyone. It's from today's Master Course lesson. When you first begin your daily sadhana, it is likely to begin in an awkward way. And you may come to know yourself in a way that you don't want to know yourself. Don't be discouraged when the mind runs wild as you sit quietly and are unable to control it. Don't be discouraged if you find that you are unable to even choose a time to sit quietly for 1/2 hour on a regular basis. If you persist, soon all this will be overcome and a firmness of mind will be felt. For it is through the regular practice of sadhana that the mind becomes firm and the intellect pure. It is through the regular practice of concentration that awareness detaches itself from the external mind and hovers within, internalizing the knowledge of the physical body, the breath, and the emotions. Concentration of the forces of the body, mind, and emotions brings us automatically into meditation, dhyana, and into deeper internalized awareness. So one of the ideas here is the benefit of regular practice, even though it's not always that successful, shall we say. We're sitting and we're meditating and the mind is all over the place, or we're upset that day and can't really focus. It's easy to say, well, our sadhana, our meditation period was a waste. But the point is, it's not a waste. That's the point, is just putting in the effort on a consistent basis causes us to progress over time. So even though it isn't fruitful every day, it's still beneficial, those periods, as well as the good periods of successful meditation. The spiritual practice should be reasonable, should not take up too much time, and should be done at the same time every day. Often seekers who become associated with Hindu sadhana go to extremes and proceed with great vigor in an effort to attain results immediately. Sitting 2 or 3 hours a day, they wear themselves out and then stop. Here's a formula for beginners. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 20 minutes to half an hour of sadhana at the same time every day. Saturday and Sunday, no sadhana. So that's an important point there, is to pace yourself for the long run. This is not a 50-yard dash. We need to set a pace that we can sustain throughout our life, set a practice that's actually feasible, rather than trying to commit to too much, which is something that someone new tends to do. You commit to too much and then you can't sustain it, and so you have to give it up altogether. So that's, you know, not good to go from one extreme to the other, from 2 hours a day practice to zero practice. But in addition to this, it's not brought up here, but it's a relevant point. We can intensify for specific periods of time. For example, going on a pilgrimage for 2 weeks. We're putting in much more than 20 minutes a day into our spiritual practice, but it's for a 2-week period. We're not trying to do it all year. Similarly, during a festival, Siskanda Shashti, 6 days, we can take on a extra practice for those 6 days only. And then after the 6 days are over, we stop the practice. So we can have two approaches going at the same time. The minimal approach that we sustain year-round, and then extra sadhana that we do on occasion for festivals or pilgrimage or other times. The keys are moderation and consistency. Next sentence is a classic. Consistency is the key to the conquest of karma. That's one of those statements that you just want to remember. Said as a question, what is the key to the conquest of karma? Consistency. So when you say it like that, it takes on a slightly broader meaning. We can think of conquering karma in a number of ways, but if we're not consistent, then we won't make progress. That's the point. We can't, for example, manage to control our tendency to get angry 3 months in a row, and then the fourth month we let it go and then start up again. So 3 months doing well, 1 month doing poorly, 3 months doing well, 1 month doing poorly is not called consistency. So we won't make the progress we should by letting ourselves slip backwards in some area of discipline. If you go to extremes or are sporadic in your sadhana, you can easily slide backwards. What happens when you slide backwards? You become fearful, you become angry, you become jealous, you become confused. What happens when you move forward? You become brave, you become calm, you become self-confident, and your mind is clear. It is often feared that meditation and religious devotion cause a withdrawal from the world. The practice of sadhana I have described does not detach you from or make you indifferent to the world. Rather, it brings up a strength within you, a shakti, enabling you to move the forces of the world in a positive way. What is meant by moving the forces of the world? That means fulfilling realistic goals that you set for yourself. That means performing your job as an employer or as an employee in the most excellent way possible. That means stretching your mind and emotions and endurance to the limit and therefore getting stronger and stronger day by day. You are involved in the world, and the world is in a technological age. So if our practice is making us feel what we're drawing from the world, we're not doing it right. That's the point. It shouldn't. If we feel less like fulfilling our duties in life because of our practice of meditation and temple worship, something's wrong. We're approaching it in the wrong way. It shouldn't make us withdraw from the world. We should be able to function in the world better. That's the point. We should be more inspired to fulfill our duties, not less inspired. So we have to find that approach if we don't have it. So the meditation and temple worship, we're going inside ourselves to be more centered, to be more dynamic, so that when we go out in the world, we do better there than we would have without the practice. The sadhana that you perform will make your mind steady and your will strong so that you can move the forces of the physical world with love and understanding rather than through anger, hatred, antagonism, cunning, jealousy, and greed. Daily sadhana performed in the right way will help you overcome these instinctive barriers to peace of mind and the fullness of being. If you have children, the rewards of your sadhana will help you educate your children properly and find schools and universities and see that all of their physical needs are met through the flow of material abundance that automatically comes as you progress in your inner life. So there are people who motivate through anger, hatred, antagonism, cunning, jealousy, and greed. They think it's necessary to get things done. But when you're on the spiritual path and you want to not slip into that way of motivating people, but rather motivate through love and understanding, which actually works much better. Through daily sadhana, we shall come to know the body, we shall come to know the emotions, we shall come to know the nerve system, we shall come to know the breath, and we shall come to know the mind in its totality. Each one of you will soon be able to mentally pick up all of the dross of your subconscious, throw it within into the great cavity of inner knowing at the feet of the gods, there to be absorbed, dissolved, and to disappear. All this and more can be unfolded from within each of you, each one of you, through your daily practice of sadhana. Sadhana is one of the great boons given to us in our religion. So sometimes when we are practicing sadhana, we encounter something in ourselves that we didn't know was there. Some regret about the past, some issue with another person we forgot about, just pops into our mind. So the idea is we can get rid of it. We don't have to say, oops, that's there, and live with it. We can get rid of these kinds of issues regarding the past, regarding other people. So Gurudev in this case is saying it can be absorbed inside ourselves through understanding, which is utilizing the sub-superconscious mind to absorb and dissolve it. We can also write certain things down and burn them up. That's a very good one, the Vasanada Tantra. The point is, if we run into something inside ourselves, we need to get rid of it. Meditation and temple worship make us more aware of what's inside ourselves, but we don't have to live with it if we don't like it. We can also clean house. We can get rid of it through the various practices that Gurudeva gives us. So, have a wonderful week.